are listening to a message from the traditional service at St. Peter's United Methodist Church in Katy, Texas.
Well, we are continuing in our Rooted in Christ sermon series today. A couple of weeks ago, we began by talking about vision and the importance of being focused on what God desires and being God-centered rather than self-centered when we seek direction for our life, when we seek to see what God may be leading us to do and providing a vision for us. Last Sunday, we talked about spiritual discernment, and we looked at Solomon and how when he was asking God for wisdom, the way he asked was for a listening heart, and God honored that and gave him wisdom. And so we, as persons today in our faith, we are to seek a listening heart so that we might discern what God is calling us to do and who God is calling us to be. Now, as we continue in being rooted in Christ, we are looking at sacrificial giving and what that might mean. And to do so, we're going to look at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26. I'll be reading verses 6 through 13 out of the New Revised Standard Version. If you have your Bible and want to follow along, or there are some pew Bibles in the pews, if you would like to follow along, Matthew 26, 6 to 13, or of course, it'll be on the screen and you can follow there as I read. Now, while Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment. She poured it on his head as she sat at the table. But when the disciples saw it, they were angry and said, "Why this waste? For this ointment could have been sold for a large sum and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you trouble this woman? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. By pouring this ointment on my body, she has prepared me for burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this good news is proclaimed in the world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." This is the word of God. For the people of God, thanks be to God. Well, I must say, I don't blame the disciples at all for what they said. They said that they should have taken this ointment that was very expensive, and to help you get an idea, a common person's salary for 1 year was what this ointment was worth. An entire year's salary, this woman poured over Jesus' head to anoint him. And the disciples said, "My goodness, you know, we followed you around, Jesus. We've seen you feed the hungry. We've seen you heal the sick. We know that people are poor and they need some food for their stomach. Why this waste? We could have taken that year's worth of salary and turned it into food and helped those who are poor and hungry." I mean, that's a good thing, isn't it? But you see, sometimes sacrificial giving isn't between something bad and something good. Sometimes it's between something good and something better. And that's exactly what Jesus said to the disciples. "Hey, don't take this away from her. What she has done is important. She has come and anointed me and has prepared me, my body, for burial," giving some insight to what was coming. And so, don't take this away from her. She has done something good here. And he said a line that I really love: "Whenever this gospel is proclaimed from here on out, she will be remembered for this." Here we are in 2019, and what are we remembering today? As we proclaim the good news, we're remembering a woman that took a year's worth of salary in the form of anointment and anointed Jesus' head, preparing him for burial and giving to him something that was so important to her, so costly to her. It was something that would long live after she died. You know what? I can't tell you her name. I don't know that. I don't know what she did for a living. I don't know that. I can't tell you anything really about her except this. And it has lived long after her death when she entered into the church eternal. That act has continued to be a legacy. The disciples weren't wrong. They could have used the money to help the needy and the poor, but something better was done with that money in the eyes of Jesus. And he commended her for it, and he said, she will always be remembered for this act. What she knew and what we all ought to know as followers of Jesus is everything we have is because God has given it to us. Everything that we have is a blessing from God. All good things, all good possessions, all good resources, all good talents, everything we have is from God. And when we want to show God appreciation for all that God has given us, we must look at ways in which we can give sacrificially back to Him. I want to consider for a few moments a couple of ways that we can give back to God from the resources that God has given us. First way that we talk about, the most common way, in fact, is to give back to God out of our cash flow, out of our income. We receive a paycheck, and then from that paycheck, we give a portion of it back to God through the life of the church or through what other kind of charity or ways that you think God can use it. You give that back to God. We come to understand through Old and New Testament alike, the portion that God asks us to give back is 10% of our income. So if you receive a paycheck and get 10% of that and you give it to the church or give it to some way in which God is going to use it to do the work, His work here in the world, that is a tithe, giving back to God 10% of your income. By the way, I'm sometimes asked, well, is it 10% of my gross income or my net income? I always say, either way is going to make God happy, okay? I said this in the last service, and I got a bunch of frowns, but here's a reality. The average United Methodist giver gives 1.8% of their income to the church. 10% would be more than that, whether you count it as gross or net, okay? So however you want to go at it, that's the goal that we try to reach. And if you're not there today, figure out what you are giving and each year take a step toward a tithe. Out of your income, out of your cash flow, that's the way most people give to the work of the church. And that's typically how we set our operating budget by those who give to the church that way. But if we give that way, one of the things we can do to give over and above to a capital campaign or a resource that we want to give to above our operating budget pledges, we would then try to discern what we could kind of give up or change a habit in our lifestyle that might reduce the outcome, you know, the outgo of our income. You get that income, outgo. You know the saying, I have too much month at the end of the money. We have to figure out where the money's coming in and how it's going out, right? And then we have to say, what can I cut back in the outgo that would help me give to something even more important than those things that I'm using it for now? I mean, that could be trying to clip coupons as you go grocery shopping. That may be buying a cheaper line of clothing than the highest cost of things. You can figure out ways in which you trim out some of the things that you do to save some money and then give that money to the work of God through the life of the church in a capital campaign. That's what this woman did. She had put money aside. She had bought something very precious, and then she had it there, and she chose to be able to buy that in the first place to alter her life, her income, and her outgo in order to be able to buy that, that she then used for something very special of anointing Jesus with it. What can you give up? What can you change in a habit that you're currently spending your income on that would free you up some resources to give to God's work? Doug Turner, who is the capital campaign consultant, he is in Atlanta, Georgia. He grew up in that area. He went to the University of Georgia. He even got to hold a spot on the bench of the University of Georgia football team. And so he's a big football fan of the University of Georgia. But he tells a story about one of the campaigns he was doing in Knoxville, Tennessee, where there was a man who was asked to be the chair of their capital campaign. And he and his wife were trying to determine what could they alter, what could they change in their habits and their lifestyle that would allow them to save some money and turn it over to this capital campaign to give to something of great value. They could give up some things. And they were wrestling with those things. They discovered some ways to change the things they bought and the way they spent and give more to the campaign. But finally, this man said to Doug, "One night I was laying in my bed and I was praying to God, and I felt like God wasn't finished with me, that all that I'd already started adjusting wasn't enough. I needed to do more. I needed to do something more in order to give more to this campaign, because I truly believe in what God's doing in this campaign." And he said, as he was laying there and he was praying, suddenly the idea came into his head: give up your season tickets to the University of Tennessee football program. And he said, "My first response was, 'You're kidding, God. I know that's not what you're saying.' But the more he thought about it and the more he prayed about it, he told Doug, that's exactly what he felt like he needed to do. He was giving up those season tickets for 3 years and instead using that money to give to the capital campaign." Doug said when the man was telling this, he could see the look on his face that he had really given up. He had really sacrificed. But he said, Doug said, "You know, as a Georgia Bulldog fan, I thought that's not a big sacrifice, giving up volunteer football tickets." And he said, of course, he was joking, because for him, the man who gave that up, it was a big commitment. He told Doug later, "You know, I thought I was going to miss it. Every time I'd listen to the radio and listen to the game being on or watch it on television, I thought, I'm going to miss being there." But he said, "Actually, what happened was I felt joy in my heart, because I knew I wasn't there because I was able to give to do the work of the church. I found more joy missing those games and seeing what God was doing in the life of the church with those resources." You see, he gave up those tickets. He realigned his priorities to give to something more important, more significant. That's what the woman did when she anointed Jesus with this ointment. She gave up something of value in order to give to something better. Another way that we give, aside from giving out of our cash flow or our income, is to give from our assets, money that we may have put back and saved up, and maybe we have enough in that we can draw some out to give. Or what is called gifts in kind. Gifts in kind would be various things. And the way he defines this for us is: a gift in kind is a marketable asset that is given directly to the church. A gift in kind is something like this: an appreciable stock, or bonds, or real estate, or life insurance that has some cash value, or antiques that have grown in value, or jewelry, or other things like that. So, for example, if some years ago, maybe you bought some stocks for $1,000 and you saved them along the way, and today those stocks you paid $1,000 for are now worth $2,000. If you sell the stocks and give the $2,000 to the church, you still have a taxable amount that you have to pay Uncle Sam, that capital gain of $1,000. However, if you give the stock to the church, we'll sell that stock and we'll get $2,000. And now you've given a $2,000 donation to the church that cost you $1,000, and you don't pay tax on that. In other words, Uncle Sam is helping us with our capital campaign, right? Now, let me stop right here to say, don't ever listen to your pastor give you tax advice. Talk to your tax consultant to make sure. before you do anything. But as I understand it, that's the way it works. We have people every year give to our operating budget from their stocks that have appreciated, and they give that amount, we sell it, and that's their donation, and they get to write off, deduct that amount as a donation, even though they gave less. In some cases, some companies give stock to employees, and that's a great way to do then when you give to the church. That's some of the ways that you can then use those resources and save some taxes and make the most out of it as you give to the church, an in-kind gift. But listen, stocks and bonds and antiques, there's all kinds of ways to do this. You know, be creative. Doug shared with us one of the strangest in-kind gifts he ever saw was a church right here in Houston. There was a man, as the consultant talked to this group in this church, and he said, you know, a man in Florida gave a registered bull, and it was worth a lot of money. And he was telling, that's one way you might do it. Well, this man in this campaign here in Houston came up and he said, so a guy gave you a bull, did he? He said, guy in Florida gave you a bull, huh? Yes, that's what happened. He said, has anybody ever given you a rhinoceros? He said, I'm going to donate a rhinoceros. Ain't no church in Florida going to outdo a church in Texas, he said. And what the story was the man owned a wild game ranch, and he raised exotic animals on it. And, he had a rhinoceros that had grown up and was worth a lot of money. There were buyers all over the world wanting to buy this animal. And so instead of selling it and paying taxes on it and then giving some money to the church, he gave the rhinoceros to the church. He then helped them sell it, but for some period of time, there was a church here in Houston that had a rhinoceros. That's strange, but Doug asked us this question, and I want to pass it to you. Do you have a rhinoceros at home? I mean, not literally, but is there something that you have that has grown in value that you can then give to the church and allow us to sell it and make that a way in which we can use it for God's work in the life of this church? Think outside the box. Think of ways that you can give, whether it's from your cash flow, your income, or if it's some asset you have or some in-kind gift that you can give. But however you do it, if we're going to live into the vision that God has for us as St. Peter's to connect the world with God's love, and as we reach out now to offer God's grace to all the Katy and Fulshear area as we build our first facility there on our 1463 property, if we're going to live into that vision, we need to figure out ways that we might do some sacrificial giving. Like the woman in our story when she gave up in order to give to. When we think of the word sacrifice, it always seems to have a negative connotation to it. I had to sacrifice that, right? But really, sacrificial giving is to give up something of value to give to something of greater value. In other words, it turns a negative into a positive. To give up something of value to something more positive, to something of greater value. If you're a parent, I don't really have to explain much more. For as a parent, you know what it means to give up something of yourself every day so that you might give to something greater, the child in your life, right? So we give up something of value to give to something of greater value. That's the definition of sacrificial giving. That's what this woman did, something of great value. Could have done something good, feed the hungry for a little while. But it did something better. For all eternity, we are told about this woman who anointed Jesus in preparation for his upcoming burial when he gave his life. In other words, she still is living through that legacy today because of that sacrificial gift she gave. What can we do to sacrifice in order to give to something of greater value that might make a difference in somebody's life for all eternity? Now, Don and Marty Shipley, who worship with us right here in this service, have been asked and are serving as co-chairs along with Lee and Kate Leonard of our capital campaign, and we have asked, as we talked to them, Lee made a video, and I also asked Don if he would make a video for us. He was talking, as we sat down and visited about this, about the sleepless nights he had and the struggling that he had, and I thought it would be good, as we talk about sacrificial giving, to let him share with us what he and Marty went through as they determined how they would be a part of this capital campaign. So let me point your attention to the screen for about 3 minutes and listen to Don.
Well, my name is Don Shipley, and my wife and I have been going to St. Peter's now for over 20 years. When I met Marty, my faith really started to bloom because of the many blessings that early life that we had together. And then we started our family, and I worked for Shell Oil Company for 36 years, and we moved 10 times. And over those years, our faith would go to, you know, because of moving so many times, 10 times, we had many churches, and we always felt like God has always directed us to a church where we were welcomed and we participated. Because of the many blessings over the years, our faith, both Marty and my faith, has grown, and our commitment to the church has grown over the years. Over the last month or so, or actually the last month, I've had many, many sleepless nights because of praying and wrestling with my commitment and what we wanted to do with this campaign. I think it's made me think about, again, the many blessings in my faith. And Marty and I are very, very committed to this campaign and the West Campus. So I think it's opened up my mind to freely give and how it will warm my heart to make that contribution to this effort. Now I'd like to kind of ask you to think about the difficulty of the founding members back 41 years ago when they were trying to make the decision to build this church, and how many people we have had contacts with, and how the ministry has grown, and the many lives that we have changed, and how many people has been connected with God's love because of that. Think about what we have the opportunity to do, where we can grow our ministry here and in the Fulcher area and the communities that are surrounding the new church. Lord, open our eyes to see where you would lead us. Awaken our hearts that we may hear your voice guiding us. Inspire our minds that we may comprehend your love for us. Soften our hearts that we may offer grace to those we meet. Watch our feet as we trend upon your kingdom's path. Guide our hearts from selfishness that we would give freely. Inspire our words that we may speak and hope and hear. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I appreciate Don for sharing that with us. And as I talked with him, they're seated right here today. This is where they're going to continue to be seated and worshiping with us. And as we talk about Rooted in Christ, what I've said to them and some of the others that are part of this campus and will remain so, is they're helping to plant a tree out on 1463 under whose shade they will never sit. But there will be generations to come that will enjoy the fruit of that and the shade of that. And what has happened for us as we sit here today, all those who planted before us have brought about this opportunity. And now we have an opportunity to plant a tree, to plant a campus that will continue offering God's love to the greater Katy Fulcher area for generations to come. When we think about the gift of this woman and how Jesus said, whenever the gospel is proclaimed, this will be told. In other words, it was living past what she had ever thought possible. It lived past her life, and it lives into eternity. So I want to ask you and me, I would say, first of all, as we think about this, as we wrestle with this, it would be very arrogant of me to say to you, this is what your sacrifice should look like. You have to think about it. You have to pray about it. It's between you and God. All of us seek and search and wrestle and discern what it might look like for us to do something in the way of sacrificial giving, to give up something in order to give to something even better, even greater, that might change the lives of people into the future, that will change them, in fact, for all eternity. What can we do? So the question I ask is, what might we do that will make an eternal difference, that will live long after we have entered into the church triumphant? I pray that we do something that will show us just as faithful as this woman who gave so much of a great sacrificial gift that has been remembered and will be remembered when we proclaim the good news. May what we do have any kind of impact similar to that. I pray that we seek ways to give sacrificially to do the work of God's church and to say to God, thank you for all that you've done for me. Let us pray. Loving God, we are so grateful for the lives that you've changed through the work of this church, that you've connected so many people to your love through those over the 41 plus years of the people of St. Peter's. We recognize that you have used this church in great and powerful ways, and we also recognize that you're calling us to do even more, bigger and better and greater things. Help us, oh God, to consider ways that we might be able to give up something in order to give to something even greater. Guide our steps. Help us to discern for ourselves the ways that we might respond to give to you for the work of the church through the operating budget, and also to give to this special campaign as we seek to refresh and renew this campus and to build phase one on the 1463 campus. Help us, O God, to focus on you and to be rooted in Christ in all that we do as we live our lives for you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening. For more information about St. Peter's and our mission to connect the world with God's love, please visit us at stpkaty.org. God bless.